I thought to myself, I got to do it this way. Because I live in Israel, I said, I got to build the process and build the right team to do it from Israel. And I thought about big companies who the owner doesn't really involved in every part of the process.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Rafi Mizrahi lives in Israel, and he's used his system to develop and syndicate over 766 units over six properties, and he's working on deals constantly from the other side of the world, which I think is a fascinating guest to bring on. Born and raised in Israel, lives there, and does deals here in the United States. We've got a lot to learn today from Rafi. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Nice to meet you, and I'm happy to be on your show. It's an honor for me.
The pleasure's mine. Here's the same three questions I ask everybody who comes on the show. Can you very quickly tell us, where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
So I started like almost 14 years ago. I was actually in IT. I was a Java programmer. And one day I got fired with all the group. And I was looking for a job. And rich dad, poor dad. So that's how I started the journey. I started buying here in Israel. Then after 2 years, started buying houses in the state. I did over 300 transactions. I did fix and flip, wholesaling, buy and hold, finding deals for Israeli investors, all of that. And I always had that secret dream to do big things, but I thought it's only for rich people. And then I found out about the multifamily syndication. And I said, that's genius. Oh my God, I got to do it. And started the journey at the end of 2017, right about now. 4 years ago, and over the 4 years, which passed so fast, right? Time passed so fast. I did six deals, 766 units. We sold a few now this year. We're about to sell the rest and buy more. I'm under contract. I can't say a lot right now. I'm working a lot of aftermarket deals. I have a team. We underwrite between 2 to 3 deals a day. We make over 1 to 2 LOIs a week. Not on November, December, a kind of a slower time, but I think in January, we'll be back to that speed. And doing that, that's how I create my deal pipe.
That's fantastic. I mean, just the ability to manage 300 fix and flips, wholesale deals, all that stuff from the other side of the world is, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts there. How far into that process did you figure out that, hey, I can do this from the other side of the world? Or was there a period in time when you were flying back and forth? Or what did that look like?
It was engineered from the beginning. I thought to myself, I got to do it this way. Because I live in Israel, I said, I got to build the process and build the right team to do it from Israel. And I thought about big companies who the owner doesn't really involved in every part of the process. So it's kind of my thinking when I approach that. So every time I do something or a new niche, I'm looking about how can I do it without flying over for every deal. It doesn't mean I don't fly. I fly a lot. But I focus more on the process and go into details and understanding how to do it from far away by building the right team in place. So it's to a question from the beginning.
Yeah, that's really smart, but also probably a little bit daunting out of the gate. I mean, how you're bringing on team members, especially, hey, we're going to design the system from the beginning. I don't have a track record and I don't have necessarily anything to offer right now, but I want to talk to team members and build those team members out so that we can hit the ground running. What was that process like?
So in the multifamily space, it's a little bit different than in the single when you start, because in the single, it's an easy start. When I say easy, it doesn't mean easy, but I mean, you don't have to have 1,000 units to start or have a track record to an owner to, when you submit an LOI, an offer on in a house, the owner doesn't check your track record, right? Where multifamily is. So building the team is about finding the right person. So in the single family space, I was looking for an agent who had the experience, right? Doing the fix and flip, who had the experience with the buy and hold. And he is right at the point that he is not exploded with the amount of investors. So he doesn't have a lot of money yet, right? He's right at the point where he has the experience, but he's not doing it for so long. Because if you would try to work with an agent who's been doing it for 30 years, right? He has a lot of experience, but he will not help you.
Right.
He's not going to run for every property and et cetera, right? So you need to find the right person that has the right experience, that has the motivation to help and work with you. So it's also about you know what you are looking for and showing the vision where you want to go and having a good communication with that teammate. So that's kind of what I did in the single family space. In the multifamily space, you start working with others who have experience and having a role in that first acquisition and the second one, trying to get more roles. And more you do that, you get your experience and track record.
Gotcha. That's really interesting. Talk to us about how you selected markets and then what it was like to get your first deal done, raising capital across multiple countries and just kind of the complications that surround that.
So because we live in Israel, again, we need to check things that local person probably will not check. Because, for example, when you are local, you will not look for the right agent. You go and see the house and try to do that, right? You know the neighborhoods because you live there. But when I live here, I need to use the internet to find information about this neighborhood. So the way I do it is always about the research with the online and then research with local people. So I don't know if you know, there is a website, for example, called justicemap.org. And this website, you can enter an address and there is a button called income. You press that button and it will show to that neighborhood how much is the median income in that neighborhood. So you can understand, if you see the median income is 20,000 median income for a house, you understand that this neighborhood, it's a low income neighborhood, right? Good and bad. Whatever, but you can do that. Now, it doesn't mean I will trust only the internet. Then I will talk with management companies, other investors. I always say that you Americans are so lucky because you have bigger pockets. You have Facebook groups for cities, for real estate, so much networking, events. So you can find people and talk with them that have done deals that tell you this neighborhood, stay away. So it's all about the research from the internet and research by talking with people. And then if I need to in multifamily, I will also drive every deal that is under contract or I accept it, I will fly to get the feeling on the neighborhood. But usually the market research with the people who invested with management company, you understand if it's a bad neighborhood or not.
Right. That's fantastic. And that's hard to do. I mean, I think it's hard for a lot of us to have the capability to go see, to go get on the ground and actually put our own hands in the mix. You don't have that option, really. And so you've got to build the systems on the back end that allow you to do what you do from a distance. What's it been like working with investors? And I feel like maybe Israelis are more attuned to investing in the U.S. and the real estate markets. Maybe I'm wrong, but what's it been like working with investors saying, hey, let's invest in a foreign country. Give me your money.
Okay. First, it's not give me your money.
I know. I'm being funny.
I know. You were exaggerating. But first, in Israel, the returns are so low. So a lot of Israelis who are already looking for alternatives, they are looking to invest outside of Israel. So it's kind of common in Israel right now. Investing, I remember when I started in 2010, there weren't a lot of investors buying in the state. Mm. There were, right? But it wasn't common. They were in Facebook groups and now they are. So it's not uncommon to invest in the real estate in America. And people are starting to learn more and more how is to invest in the state, in multifamily, et cetera. What are the risks? They take the time, not all of them, but some of them will take the time. Also, when you do the PPM, there is this accredited and you have the sophisticated. The sophisticated is people who have experience in investing in real estate and understand the risk and et cetera, right? So I'm a guy, not all of the people will do that, but I'm a guy who will work with or raise funds, or work with investors who have really experience, who understand the risk. I don't want to work with people who don't understand that. I learned long time ago, you prefer working with people, customers that you want to work with.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why Israeli investors, they are looking forward to investing in the state. And I will only work with people who understand the risk in investing in the state. I haven't said that, but I'm also the top mentor in Israel. I teach people how to buy houses. I have more than 1,300 students.
Wow.
Yeah. So I have a good reputation and I help a lot of people to buy by themselves. My main goal is to help people buy by themselves real estate in the United States. So they buy, fix and flip, they do wholesale and all of that. And once in a while, offer them also to join me on the multifamily space. And I select only the people who understand they don't want to do it by themselves, because I prefer that they will do it by themselves. They will have control, right? But if they have enough money and they want to do it by themselves and they understand the risk, they're sophisticated, then we can work together on a deal.
What are the asset classes? So you said, hey, I'm going to come to the States. We're going to buy. And you, of course, you had single family experience here. Maybe you already knew the market. But what were the asset classes? You guys said, hey, we're going to jump into this particular asset class that makes sense for you in multifamily. And how did you end up selecting that, especially remotely?
Yeah, that's a great question. First, I learned a long time ago that you better work in the C to B class. Of course, you can work on the A class, less risk and et cetera, right? But the price per unit is so high, right, that it's hard to get some people. I might do it eventually, but I think A class, it's a higher price. So you need to probably raise more funds. You need to work with private equity funds. You got to structure it differently, right? So I decided to work on a B and C class and not D, meaning I will not go to an area where the median income is below 35, around 35,000. That's around the C class to 60. That's the range. And we'll look for 1975 to 1990, probably at the high end. And what is important for me is to find a value add deals, meaning a proven value add deal. When I mean proven is I don't want to assume, and I've seen that a lot, people assume that they can push the rent better than the other comps. Right. Yeah, I'm going to renovate it better than no. I like to do reverse engineer. I've done it in the fix and flip space. I prefer saying, okay, if he get 1,100 on a two bedroom, I will say I will get 1,075.
Right.
With the same level of renovation to be competitive or to be around the same comps. So I'm always look for that to see a proven concept in that neighborhood.
Yeah, that's really strategic. I like that. Yeah. So you guys said, all right, look, we're going to buy in this asset class. You already had your cities picked out. I mean, did you just switch from single family straight into multifamily in the same cities you were already in?
No, actually I didn't. So I was buying in Cleveland.
Okay.
I was buying in Cleveland back then. And when I started buying, I wanted to buy multifamily in Cleveland. What was available were more of a 40, 50 units. Wasn't at that time a lot of 100, 200. Now you have more availability. And I didn't like at that time, how do you say, three floors or five, six floors. I wanted the Sunrise multifamily. So I was looking for a different market and I landed at Georgia in Atlanta. And I'm working in Atlanta and Treasury markets in Georgia.
I gotcha. What have been some mistakes or things that if you could do them over that you would say, all right, here's something I would do differently?
There are a lot. Not everybody will say that, but if I'm not making a mistake on a deal, it means one, I'm not honest for sure. It's impossible. You always make mistakes. If you try, you make mistakes. So one mistake is taking less working capital, raising less working capital for the renovation because it takes time. You renovate units, the outside, and it takes time until the bank's inspection comes, then do the reimbursement, and it can slow you down, right? And sometimes you will need to turn a unit to keep it a classic just because you don't want to finish all your funds so quickly, right? And I prefer push them to the premium instead of doing the light renovation and let's say the turnaround renovation to put the tenant in the same rent.
Right.
So that's what we needed to do because we didn't have enough working capital and we knew we got to be on speed. I prefer putting a tenant in and then waiting, right? So kind of think that's one of the mistakes. I think a team, now I'm working with a better team, which means I have a construction manager that is in the company and he's doing the supervising on the construction. That's one. And also an asset manager, which is doing it. I learned a lot by doing it by myself, but I think it's something that a professional guy should do. So I hired asset manager in place. And I'm thinking as a business, every one of us want to get the first deal. I want to get the first deal. That's everybody's focusing, and it takes a while. And then you realize you got to build the team too. So,
right. Rafi, this has been great. You've shared a lot of things that I wish maybe I'd talked to you earlier to help us employ and think more strategically earlier on. You just saved me a lot of heartache, that's for sure. But you've shared a lot of great stuff with us today, just doing deals overseas, building your team, talking about picking markets, what you think about in the class of assets you're buying, how to strategically build. I mean, this has been really good, and I certainly appreciate you taking the time to pull back the curtains on your business. Let's jump here into the final four questions. The first one is this. What is one tool or resource that you find you can't live without?
Oh, well, I think it's my resource. It's me being consistent. And I think resource of working on your mentality, because I'm a guy who like to have things yesterday. So I'm a guy, there is a task I will do today, but it takes time until others will do it. So I need to work on myself every time to be patient and wait for that and push and be consistent. A thing doesn't work the way you want, so you got to consistently make it. So I think the resource I always rely and I couldn't do it without is my resources, is my personality.
That's a great answer. I love that. Next question. If you could help our listeners avoid just one mistake in real estate, what would it be and how would you avoid it?
I think due diligence on people. Back in 2012 or 13, a management company I was working with in Singer Family Space got bankrupt. And they stopped answering the phone calls, emails, and everything. And I learned, and it was a one-stop shop where we bought the properties from them. And they were renovating everything. And I did the due diligence, but I should have done it better. And I learned about it. So I think due diligence on people, that's a mistake. But I got to say, like I said before, we got to embrace that we will make mistakes every time and learn from it.
Yeah, that's absolutely critical. I love that. When it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
Oh, that's a great question. So the name of the company called Proud Communities. So the reason is because I have a vision really to make the communities a better place for tenants. And I feel like right now, like everybody else, he has this mentality, oh, we want the community to be a better place. But isn't it just by renovating the units and the exterior? Is that making the community a better place? Yes and no, not enough, right? I want to find a way to make this really a better place for them. So I have some ideas. I'm working out and I'm doing research for that. And I want to really find how to make communities really a better place to live.
That's awesome. Fantastic. Rafi, if our listeners want to get in touch with you or learn more about you, what is the best way to do that?
They can reach me out at proudcommunities.com. You're probably going to give a link to that website. So there is a contact info there. They can reach me out. I like to help people. So whoever reach me out, I will gladly help.
Rafi, thank you so much for your time today. I do appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.